This is the Perfectly Mentored Podcast with your host, Jason Portnoy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Perfectly Mentored. I'm your host, Jason Portnoy. My guest today, Patrick Kenny, is someone that I've known for a long time, someone that I truly admire. One of the few people in this business that, you know, his word is his bond. He works hard and he knows his shit, which is super, super important. Someone I keep wanting to work with closely. I keep finding ways to work with him closely just because he's super talented. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Great to have you here. I'm looking forward to this conversation. But for those who don't know who you are, I always want our guests to give their background on where they started, how they got to where they are right now, and then we'll just have the conversation about what's going on now.
Okay. It was a cold, blustery night in April of 1979. Too far? No, just kidding.
No. Keep going. This podcast will be 6.5 hours.
It's all good. There you go. And then when I turned six, to kind of just give a cliff note background, I went to university for computer science, and when I came out of university, I did some network engineering for Lexmark. I was recruited by ACS, which is now acquired by Xerox, and I did some development work. Did a lot of technical network engineering, application building, that sort of thing, and went freelance. Had some people who wanted me to do some stuff for them on the side, just kind of giving the quick version of this. And through my corporate career, my brief corporate career coming out of university, and then going into freelance where people would pay to have systems and applications designed and built, I found a lot of these people lacked any system to acquire customers. So working in some of the startups, working with people that had some capital to throw an application, build it out, I found that most of them, like 98% of them, had no proof of concept or they had no validation on their product. They didn't even have an offer around their product. And I started to turn into the prescriber of like, okay, here's what you should do kind of thing. So psychology has always been a love of mine, but taking my pragmatic approach to network engineering and application development and looking at IT systems, I have a unique, as other people have told me, I'll say this as humbly as I can, but I've been told that I have a very pragmatic approach to solving issues in somebody's sales and marketing process. And so I found that I had a really big calling, if you will, for lack of a better term. I felt called to be more involved in the inbound health of a business. So starting with validating an offer before you even put up the money to build something. So out of that, I transitioned my business into, I won't call it an agency because I'm not an agency, but, you know, I created the business around creating systems to showcase the best talents and the best applications and the best processes for businesses and business owners that I had affinity with. So background started in CS, moved into marketing, and it was a natural fit for me to do digital because that IT background gave me a unique advantage when it came to doing pixels and email and deliverability and sender score and all this stuff. So that with my love of persuasion and copywriting and really figuring out why people take the actions that they do and what gets people to move from I don't know you to buying. I've always been fascinated with that process of tweaking it and whatnot. So that's what I do. That's my background, that I'm a pragmatic marketer, if you will. That's probably the best or most apt description I could give myself.
A pragmatic marketer. Those exist?
I may be the great white buffalo. I don't know.
I mean, you said something that was super important, that you wanted to start from, you know, before they even had laid down the money to start building, you know, to validate the product or put together the systems and put the systems and the operations in place to get them going. Walk me through, just let's go back again into your background. You come from the gym background. You were the gym king in when it came to Facebook ads and helping to build gyms. How important was that experience to where you're at right now?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that is something I serendipitously fell into. And that was just from why people make the choices that they make. And I got into, fitness probably about 10 years ago for my own journey of fitness and not liking where I was, not liking how I was feeling, really learning about body movements, that sort of thing. And, you know, by getting involved in a community of people, I got involved in a local CrossFit, and I'm friends with a lot of the people that still go there, and a lot of the trainers and whatnot. And I found that the people that have the best service don't win. The people who have the best marketing. So for me, getting in the gym space, it was, how can I help these people who have the best service also have the best marketing? And it was a natural fit because I was passionate about it, because, you know, I live in Kentucky and so many people are overweight in Kentucky. I think it's like, it might be the top state for people that are obese. And for friends and family around me, they just don't know. You know, we have this thing called the curse of knowledge that, yeah, I know you know that, and your listeners may have heard it, but where it's like, when we acquire something, we just take it for granted. Hey, I know how to do this. So I trivialize that. And so by getting into fitness, it was a personal thing, and it just kept, you know, hey, let me help you with this. And then like, oh man, that worked. That's great. Okay. Well, we'll do this. Oh man, that was great. I got a bunch of members. And then they would tell, you know, their friends about me, and then they would tell a friend. So then I started to architect things around that. And I loved it, which I think is so important, having a passion for what you're doing and not just like, I'm passionate about, you know, not just declaring your passion, but finding that thing where you're like, I would do this for free. And so it just, it snowballed into that and became so easy. And I'm flattered by the comment about, you know, my prowess or aptitude in fitness. It just came naturally because that's the journey I wanted to go through. When I went back to where I was, I'm like, well, how would I want people to talk to me? How would they allay my fears? You know, help me see what's going on behind closed doors and get past my objections of like, why should I go in there? How's it going to help me? And just architecting everything around that. And then the rest took care of itself. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, perfectly. The next step with that is something that you and I've had many side conversations about is, you know, you're now in a space and I'm in the same space of being hit with buy my $10,000 course, buy my $5,000 ebook or whatever it is. It's a pretty expensive ebook, but you know,
it's
just
platinum covered.
Exactly. Then it would actually have some value though. Tons of these coaches coming in promising you results. What's your take on where this industry is going? And, you know, is there any, and what's the biggest problem with these so-called coaches and gurus right now?
Okay, so, you know, the 10,000, I have a lot of thoughts on this, as you know. And I've bought several $10,000 courses. And, you know, first off, I don't want to come across as I'm complaining. So I'll say this first. When you invest in something like that, obviously their marketing is on point. Or you're in a very desperate position, which, I mean, a lot of people buy on pain. It's a very good marketing tactic. I've bought on pain. And I know you've bought on pain. And so I don't fault the $10,000 programs that have the great marketing. I think where a lot of them fall short is that they believe this big lie that, you know, oh, if you just give them, you know, 6 or 8 weeks of videos and let them hop on, you know, a couple of calls a week, you're truly serving their needs. I know that's a generalization, and I think some start with that intention, and maybe for the first couple of classes they do that. But then they start to look at, well, now I need a better car. Now I need a bigger house. And while there's nothing wrong with that, the problem with that mindset is that you take your eye off of why you did this in the first place, which is to serve other people. And if you're going to make that transition to just scaling it out massively, then to answer your question, like, what do I see wrong with it? Is that they don't adapt the programs. And people are not stupid. As much as, you know, we say people can be stupid, the people that buy $10,000 programs are not stupid. And if you continue to market to somebody that's in a $10,000 program and nurture them long after the sale, then you're going to have a raving fan. And if you say, hey guys, things are scaling beyond belief. I'm like so humbled, it's beyond belief. And I want to scale this to $10 million a day or whatever it is. Like, I want this thing to be the biggest high ticket coaching program on the planet. Here's what I'm planning for this. I'd love your feedback. You know, by the way, this is what's going to look like. Like, I think if they like gave people a glimpse of the evolution of the program, then you would see a higher success rate in longevity. And I don't mean from enrollment, but, you know, certain programs that I'm not going to call out. I'm not going to call out certain programs, but you see them decline after a certain period of time because they don't adapt. And I think part of adapting is being real with the people who've invested in you, because you're, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
One of the things I agree with everything you said. One of the biggest points I see in terms of adapting is every client is different. Everybody is different. So to teach someone, or to teach a mass scale of marketers something that A, is changing every single day, or B, aren't in their level of learning, just doesn't help anyone. So I find that one of the biggest problems, aside from A, they're no better than a person who's doing this for free and giving out all the information, or something that you could watch on YouTube for free, I have a problem with bottom feeding. That's my personal, you know, if someone wants to do it and they want to go after it and people really want to pay for it, all the best to them. I personally ethically have a problem with bottom feeding and going after the people who just desperately need this, where you position yourself in a way that they need it and they need to give you their last, you know, $5,000 that they have.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, so yeah. And we're down a couple points here, so I make sure that I hit these, because I agree with you 100%. It's the promise of, this is going to change your world. Okay. And the biggest issue, aside from adapting to the size that you're going to go to and just doing a money grab, is that you don't do that filtering of saying, hey, if you're this type of person, this isn't for you. Because you never know what that person's going to do. Because, you know, you can look at CPAs and CTRs and CPCs and CPA, all that stuff, all that you want to, but you, these high ticket groups ignore the human element, which is at some point you get so much momentum in your business, you can't track where stuff's coming from, because it's not coming from paid campaigns. It's coming from people going, dude, I talked to so-and-so and he was in this program. Like, oh my gosh, that dude's amazing. You need to reach out to them. You know, that reciprocity kicks in. So the, you know, getting people against the wall, and that's, you know, I was saying high pressure. It's like, hey, this is the magic bullet. I know you've only got $5,000 in your account, but how many credit cards do you have? Because I've seen that. It's like, oh, it's a $10,000 program. Man, I don't have the money. Well, could you get another credit card? Like, I think there's a special place in hell for people to sell like that.
Yeah, I come from the one of my first jobs out of school was telemarketing. And I remember I was on the phone and my boss was listening in. It was one of my first phone calls. And I got this 90-year-old woman on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I started talking. She didn't hear what I was saying. So I kept trying to talk louder. And it just looked like all I really needed to say was, give me your credit card number. And she probably would have given me her credit card number. And that's kind of where I was going to. And when I heard how, you know, my boss was giving me the sign to keep going. And I ended the call. I was fired. Because I ended the call. I said, there's no way I'm taking this woman's credit card. She has no clue what she's buying. She has zero concept of what's going on. And I was fired because I didn't get the sale. And that's something that always stuck with me, because like you said, we've all bought the courses. We've all been there. We've all hoped for that magic bullet, that you know, that one course that's probably going to solve all of our problems. It doesn't exist. And that kind of hurts us as marketers today. Because when I'm on the phone with someone and I'm talking to them and I'm talking about, you know, what we're going to do is a lot of testing. And they're like, well, what do you mean? Like, I'm like, well, everything comes down to testing. And then once we figure out what's working, we're going to scale. We're going to go in on it. They're like, well, I don't need that. I need someone that I'm going to give my money to and is going to produce results the second I hand them my money. And it's kind of hard to have those conversations because, like you said, people are getting smarter, but at the same time, when it comes to, you know, your last hope, people still fall victim to, I need that magic bullet. I need that magic pill. No matter how much success you're getting slowly on the organic way and the right way, everyone still hopes for that magic pill.
Oh, I agree 100%. And I think that's where you're talking about, you know, people are getting smarter. Well, marketers are getting dumber.
Because, I would say lazier.
Well, it's funny. So I've got this system that I have, I've been perfecting over the past couple of months, as you know. And, you know, I'm not going to talk results because I'm not going to toot my own horn at this. This is just about how I think about things and how I'm testing stuff and how I, you know, one of the most valuable things that I can provide to anybody watching or listening this, or to you or to my clients, is my perspective on the marketing world and on the business world, and also draw on my experiences and help them to kind of navigate. So anybody that goes in and promising, yeah, hey, it's a magic bullet, man. I'm gonna get you results tomorrow, and we're gonna keep your acquisition cost under $50, and then we can scale it up. You can spend $10,000 a day. And it's like, yeah, that might get somebody to give you a yes in the short term, but you're not getting, you know, what I would call a lifetime client. And that's not always somebody that's paying every month, but a lifetime client. So maybe you work with them, and then they go away, and then they're gonna tell their friends about you. And then when they have another need that you can meet, they're gonna come back to you. You know, just like you would a doctor. You're not going to go to a doctor every week just because you want to see the doctor. You go to the doctor because you have a pain. You have something that he needs to address. So from a lazy marketing perspective, you know, I have this conversation a lot lately. It's like, what should the targeting be on my, you know, on my Google ads or my Facebook ads or whatever? And more lately, and this is, for those listening, this is a writer downer. Let your language do the filtering first. Let the language in every single ad, I don't care what platform it is. It could be Pinterest, Snapchat, Facebook, Google. I don't care. Direct mail, whatever. If you filter people with the language, if you're this type of person, this is not for you. It's going to be a waste of your time. You have filtered out the people unless they're just curious. But you know, if you're doing income targeting and then you get that person that they have a rich uncle or rich dad. Well, guess what? You just lost that potential client or customer because you made the choice for them rather than doing your due diligence and creating better copy to polarize them to a yes or a no. I think that is the biggest issue with how quickly we can roll stuff out with the new digital platforms is that marketers get lazy and they don't create good offers and they don't showcase those good offers with good copy, right? I mean, that's something that I see time and again. And then the other thing is, you know, people are showcasing the platform. Like, oh, I'm going to do so. And hey, I fall into this. I know you have too, because it's sexy. Like when you have a new opportunity sells better than pain. If you have new car, you know, would you rather put a new engine and new paint job on your car? Or would you rather buy a brand new car? Everyone wants a new car, right? So okay, for a long time, it worked. Facebook ads. Put them in play of your business. I made a lot of money doing that. I know you did too. But now it's not new anymore. The novelty wears off and people go, well, what do you do now? You fix pain, right? People are in pain. But it's not, hey, Facebook ads is your pain. People are like, well, I don't care. Like some people will make that, they'll make that jump from Facebook ads to solving my pain. But if your language says, are you struggling to get results with the ad platforms? Are you confused? Have you thrown a lot of money at the wall on these things and nothing is working? If so, I want to help you out because I have a system that works great and it's going to get you the result that you want and we're going to work on it together. That's an offer. So somebody that's frustrated there, it doesn't matter what business they're in. It doesn't matter what income level they're in. If they're a business owner in this example and they see that and they're frustrated, there's no targeting that can say, I want to target business owners who are frustrated. You know, and I think that's one of the biggest issues right now is that it's such easy money to go after and copy what everyone else is doing and just throw money at the wall that people are missing the big opportunity and they're missing the long-term money on it too through the follow-up.
I think that's one of the biggest mistakes also is that everyone's just in it for the short game, right? Everyone's in it with how many people can I onboard right now? And, you know, just I'll make all the money the month one and then I'll just move on to something else month two. And
turn and burn.
Yeah. But which sucks for a marketer like you and I, for marketers like you and I, is that then these people then get on a phone with us after. Mm-hmm. So we then have to, you know, almost go through and empathize with the burning, which I do, which I always do, but it's now the distrust in marketing and marketers.
Yeah, so I'll talk to that real quick. So I'm going to give if it's okay with you, I'm going to give a plug here for somebody that I brought in after investing in a lot of programs. I think it's so key to have a mentor. And I bring that up because your podcast is called Perfectly Mentored. And, you know, I was sitting around.
In which case, by the way, today you're the mentor.
Okay. Well, thanks. Hey, if you'd like for me to mentor you, go to buymycrap.com/Patrick. That doesn't exist. And I know some people will try to visit that. So maybe I should register that just to say, hey, there's nothing for sale. This is just pure value. Anyway, so I think it's so key to have a mentor in your life. And I've gone without, and I've never had as much success as I have with a mentor. So it's something you bake into the cost of doing business. Okay. So if you're not at a point where you can invest, then make that a goal so that you can invest in a mentor. And investing in high ticket programs, I made the disconnect or the incorrect link that.
Hey, Patrick, can I just interrupt
yeah.
for 1 second? Because I think, I get this question a lot is, where can I find a mentor? I want the mentor who's the best in their field. It doesn't have to be. You're going after the guys who are the rock stars. They're not going to answer your email, but there is that local business that's been around for 25 years and the owner is really good. He stayed in business for 25 years and would love to share his knowledge with you on business. Those are the people that I'd go after first.
Oh, absolutely. Well, what I was going to say is it's where you are, you figure out where you are and who's above you. Find somebody that's where you want to be and not the dude that's doing like $12 million or the dude that's doing $3 million a year or $50 million, $100 million. If you're at 10 grand a month or 5 grand a month or 15 grand a month, first off, are you happy with the money that you're making? Are you living a good life? Do you have a balance of family, time, and health to where you're not struggling to survive every month? If that's where you are right now, then think long and hard about how much you want to grow where you are now, because the grass is not always greener on the other side. Okay. One big thing that I've gone through in the past 18 months is really finding that perfect level of contentment with my income, amount of time involved to maintain that income, manage my health, and spend time with my family. That is so key. So find somebody that's not just from a money perspective, because you could choose a mentor that's morally corrupt and maybe killing it in business. But maybe they're divorced and an alcoholic. You don't want that person to mentor you because you get the whole ball of wax, right? And you don't need to go and join, a $30,000 a year program or $100,000 a year program. Yeah, go to a B&I group. I'm not a huge fan of B&I, but if you go to a B&I group, who can you align with that you can talk to once a week, even if it's just to go have coffee or whatever, just to shoot the shit, so to speak, right? So having, one hand up for people that are above you and having another hand down to help people that are below you. And I think that is one of the biggest missed opportunities or a very undercapitalized opportunity for people because they think they have no value. Going back to what I said about the curse of knowledge, if you can help somebody reach their goal faster and cheaper than they can themselves, then what you have to offer them is a value. So if you're 10K a month and somebody's at 3K a month, you can mentor them to get where you are. And a lot of people just don't think they're worthy of that. So, but what I was going to say on the whole sales piece, you mentioned the telemarketing, and we've talked about, some of the scripts that I think you and I got in some of the high ticket stuff. We were kind of like, I don't really want to do that. I think the two call close is one of the worst sales processes that is being taught right now, where it's like, oh, let me get access, and you kind of butter them up and you warm them up, and then you get on the call another time. And you and I both know that most of those second calls never happen, right? But you get them on the phone and you prescribe to them like they've got a broken leg, then you're just there to help. Your close rate's going to go up. And I'm gonna plug this guy, and feel free to edit him out if you want to. He taught me a concept that I absolutely love. It aligns with my personality, and I know it will with yours. It's called the benevolent alpha. And that's a process of being in charge of the conversation, taking charge, because people want you to take charge of a conversation, but the benevolent side, meaning you're meeting them where they are and you're helping them from that point of where they are and getting them the result that they want, only if it aligns with what you're able to do. So when I talk to business owners and they're going, oh my gosh, I hate Google, I hate Facebook, I hate all this stuff, I've tried the remarketing and the email and my ads suck and I've been taken by these guys and all this stuff and I've invested $80,000 a month and I'm not getting any results, right? Well, I know I can help that person. I could probably come in very quickly in the first week and just make a few little changes and get him some success. So when I get him on the phone, okay, why are we on the phone today? Well, listen to this. Okay, why is that important? And like legitimately listening to the person and speaking directly to their pain and helping them bridge from their pain to get that result and how you can help them get there in a way where they don't latch on to, yeah, but you sold me Facebook ads. Yeah, but you sold me Google ads. Yeah, you sold me e-com sales. I think that's the biggest issue right now is people are not becoming that benevolent alpha on calls. They're saying, I am the authority. You will do what I say. I know the way, like these 10K programs. Do my sales my way. Every business is identical. You're going to follow this 8-week course and you have to follow this program from A to Z, and then you're going to make $1 million a month. And then people are going, yeah, it didn't work. And they're going, guess you didn't follow the program. So the benevolent alpha, the guy's name is Kevin Nations, if you want to look him up. And from the moment I hired him to help me with my sales and get better at, I'm really damn good at marketing. And you're really damn good at marketing. But we need people to remind us how good we are and help see the things that we can't with our clouded view of ourselves. And that's the whole reason I hired Kevin. He's able to look at me and go, okay, do this, this, and this, this. He's my perfect mentor. So the benevolent alpha, I think he coined that. That's why I want to give him props on that. I'm not saying go out and hire Kevin immediately or you know, even look him up. But that benevolent alpha changed my business.
I mean, you touched on something extremely important and something that, you know, the listeners are just going to find a common theme, because I've just been so obsessed and fascinated with imposter syndrome lately. Just really trying to understand why people go through it. And when they know deep down inside, they have so much to offer. So I've been fascinated. So every guest, it almost finds a way to surface, and I don't even bring it up anymore. What's your trick when you work with clients to get them to understand their value and their perspective and their perspective on their market actually has value when they reach that imposter syndrome?
So I help them. So for me, it's one of the easiest things I could do is help them to, you know, take a step back, close their eyes, visualize where they started, and then see where they are now. So I ask them where they were the first day they started. Hey, why did you decide to get in the business in the first place? And 99 out of 100 times, they'll tell an anecdotal story that has a lot of emotion in it. You know, so you'd mentioned the gym, you know, this, so my partner and I in a local gym, we created Icon Fitness here in Lexington. We built it together. I built the marketing and systems. You know, Aaron's a brilliant trainer, Aaron Hopper, and he's, you know, amazing person. I started that business with him because of a very personal health issue with my spouse, an autoimmune issue where fitness was great. Now she's great. She's in remission. Everything's great. But that was a very personal, that was my why I started. So if I help business owners go like, they're going, oh my gosh, I got this and this going on. Oh, and this, nothing's working, whatever. Okay. All right. So we'll say, Bob, why did you start this business in the first place? And they kind of go, well, why does that matter? Just go with me for a second, Bob. Why did you start the business? And it's always, almost always, well, you know, I had this college roommate, and, you know, this happened, and then we got into it, and it just kind of built. We were changing lives. Da, 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 da. Great. So do you still love the business? Yeah. Can you get people results? Man, I just don't know anymore. That's where the imposter syndrome comes in. Man, I just don't know if we're as good as we think we are. Okay. Who have you helped in the past week? I go, well, this person and this person and this person and this person. How do they feel now? Man, they feel great. How do you feel now? Pretty good. We often forget how good we are. We just need somebody to help us remember how good we are.
We're also, like you and I have spoken about many times, in an insular bubble, right? Yeah. So when we see people in our industry, you know, throwing at results that A, are either fabricated or, you know, good on them.
You know, or they take the best hour of a campaign and go, we did $80 billion in 45 minutes.
Well, my favorite is when I see 150 times return on ad spend, and they don't even show the ad spend.
Yeah.
And then my question is always, okay, cool, can I see the ad spend? And they show me a dollar, and it was a $150 product, and there you go. You know, they spent a dollar, and they just happened to get one sale. When you see results like that, and you start seeing that, you know, these platforms are getting very, very good at understanding who you are and what your perceived reality is, that when you're on your newsfeed, when you're even, whether it's LinkedIn, which is getting a lot smarter at it also, Instagram or Facebook, they're showing you things that are in your world when you're online, what your online world is. So you know, because I'm a marketer, because I have a podcast, I start seeing all these marketing things. And you start seeing that the whole world are a bunch of marketers. And how can you build an agency in 2018 anymore when every single person that you know is a marketer now? So then you start doubting yourself, obviously, what most people go through. So I find that's one thing that people need to take a step back and realize that, you know, you go talk to your circle of friends. They haven't heard of anything that you're seeing online because their newsfeed is completely different than yours.
Well, and what did you say to me not long ago? You mentioned Sir Gary Vaynerchuk to somebody and they were going, oh, is he from Toronto?
Yeah, no clue.
And you're like, what? Really? And but everybody listening to this probably knows who that is.
So let's give the listeners some value. And Patrick's one of the people that I could call out on this because he actually means it, and give away some of your value for free to the listeners.
What do you want me to give?
If you're starting a business today, right? Pretend this is a coaching call. I'm a client that wants to hire you. I'm about to start a business. What would your roadmap look like? I know that's kind of hard because we haven't really defined a business, but just in macro form, what does the process look like that you would tell a client to start doing?
Okay. So first off, I'll add on to the imposter syndrome piece. If you write this down and put it by your computer, it's going to help you remember the opportunities that are available to you. There are, unless you're Facebook or Microsoft or Apple, or you know, Procter & Gamble, one of those large corporations, there are over 7 billion people on this planet that have not purchased your product or service. So if you need to be reminded of the opportunities available to you, and what is it? Something like only 2.5 billion people have access to the internet, and it's growing by tens, if not hundreds of millions every month that are getting access to the internet. So that should give you some idea of the opportunity. So on your hypothetical, do we have an existing business or are we starting a new business? Are we fixing a broken business or stagnant business?
You know, if you got time, let's run down both. Let's pretend it's new.
Okay. So brand new business. I would start with, what are you passionate about? What do you like to do? Do you like to trade cars? Do you like to work out? Do you help people with, you know, their mindset, you know? That's probably a generalization. Let's see. Do you help people feel better about themselves? Are you a jovial person? And when you walk into a room, are you able to get people feeling bad? Are you able to turn them around and help them have a good day? You know, that's kind of a generalization, I would say, with mindset. What are your strengths of your personality? And if you don't know, then I would strongly suggest you take the Enneagram study. I believe it's Enneagram. It is an in-depth questionnaire that tells you what your personality is and what your strengths are. So are you a peacekeeper? Are you an achiever? You know, are you the joker? You know, and if you're trying to figure out ideas for how to start your business, you can never be too rich or too skinny. So if you help people with opportunities or fixing money issues, that's a huge opportunity. If you help people in health and wellness, that's another huge opportunity. Those are two great markets to go after. But as far as how you would start in your first month, I'd give myself 30 days. I would work an entire month every single day. With, as of the recording of this podcast, I would start with a Facebook group. And I would start to reach out to friends and then have them get their friends and create a Facebook group based on value. You know, pick a topic, pick a solution to a problem. What is a common theme? So let's say you're a personal trainer, because I'm tight in the fitness market. A lot of personal trainers don't feel that they're worthy of charging high rates, yet they get people the most dramatic results in a short period of time. And so let's say you create a Facebook group that helps people do macro portions. And macro portions basically is just how much fat, protein, or carbohydrates do you need to have in your diet to kind of hit an optimal range for your body operating per day. So let's say in this example, your Facebook group is around helping people understand how to do portion control, what to eat, what clean eating is, that sort of thing. I would start a 5-day challenge, and I would call it the 5 days to better energy challenge in this example. I wouldn't say 5-day clean eating challenge or the 5-day macro challenge, because people need to be able to draw that line from what this is to the result. So if you say 5 days to feeling 5 days to more energy, and sleeping better, something along those lines, that's a result that people want. They want to have more energy. They want to sleep better. They don't have to think about, oh, well, does clean eating equal, you know, sleeping better and getting more energy? So I would create that group, and every day for 5 days, I would give them a what they need to do and not how to do it. Now there's a distinction there. You can still give great value to somebody. Okay, what you need to do is you need to eat vegetables. You need to eat a protein. You need to get some healthy fats in there. So today I want you to eat 5 small meals. I want you to keep it under 300 calories to kind of see how you feel. And I want you to have a portion of, you know, carbohydrates, fats, and protein on there. And tomorrow we're going to talk about timing. So you've given them something they could do. And some people can make that distinction of, you know, all right, so I'm going to do this. But their questions are, well, how much should I have of this? What are the portions? What are the grams? What time of day should I have? How much water should I be drinking? So these questions will come out. The second day I would do something like, you know, how to clean your system without, you know, expensive products or powders or whatever. So each day of this challenge, you're giving them value. And at the end of that 5 days, you're going to say, hey, it's been 5 days. Hopefully you're sleeping better. You're feeling better. You've got a bump of energy. And if they do that for 5 days, they are going to feel great, right? Hey, listen, I've put together a beta group for a program that I'm putting together. I'm looking for my first set of beta testers. Get people to come in and to a paid group, get them on the phone and close them on the phone. Give them a deal for starting. Hey, I'm just starting out. And if you like that challenge, this is all the stuff I have in store over the next month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, whatever you want to do. This is what I have in store. These are the results I'm going to get people. And if you're one of the first few people that comes in, I'll give you a deal on it. Half off, 75% off, whatever you want to do. So you've spent no money on ads. You've gotten your friends and family into it. You've gotten people results. Some people call that results in advance. Now they want to know all the details about what every little piece they should do in that. What should, you know, how should they measure, time of day, all the other things, which you're going to give them in the paid group. And you have now validated by people giving you their credit card. So if I were starting out, that's what I would do. And then that is, you know, all the other stuff you could do, all the other marketing you can do, you just bolt onto that. Because the premise that you started on is providing people with a way to sleep better and have more energy. And that's your offer. If you're struggling to sleep better, or you're struggling to sleep through the night, and you hit that 2 o'clock, you know, you hit that 2 o'clock hour, which I'm about to hit, you hit that 2 o'clock hour, and you're running for the coffee pot, then I invite you to check this out. That's an offer, right? So that's what I would do in the fit, you know, like in the personal trainer space. And I mentioned nothing about lifting weights or running or doing anything else. You start with what's a small result you can get somebody in 5 days. You can engage them. You can validate this offer, get them to pay you money, and then you can scale your business up from that because they're voting with their credit card.
And the beauty of that one is that if they reach that 5 day, you know, post, And they actually validated themselves. They believed in what
they're going to stick through it.
And they went through the 5 days. So if they don't get on the phone with you or they dropped off on day two, they're probably not going to hit that day five post and reach out to you. So the ones that actually reach out to you, it's going to be a pretty warm sales call because they already bought into your 5 days.
Yeah. And if you're real with people and say, look, I'm starting this. This is ground floor. The program is going to be $2,000 a year. If you join right now, I'll give it to you for $897. And if for any reason the first month you feel I've wasted your time and you get no results, just let me know and I'll give you your money back. And if you're good, you'll make that kind of offer. You don't have to do the money back, but I'm saying like that's how you could get people to vote for with their wallet.
You know, it's funny. The money back, when you watch the pros are so confident in themselves that they offer that money back because they don't care. Right. Yep. The cost of losing a customer who's unhappy and took their money and going online and bad mouthing them, they understand the long term play that, you know, they're willing to sacrifice the $897 or the $2,000 and give them back in order to make sure their reputation goes onwards for the next 400, 500,000 plus clients mm-hmm. that they take on.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And that's the cost of doing business. You bake that in. If somebody comes to you after a month, they're probably refunding because they're not going to follow through with the program. And that just muddies your waters anyway, because you want to get those testimonials of people that are going, man, I worked with Jason and this is the result that I got.
Well, you hit the nail on the head because I think giving something away for free, a course for free, doesn't necessarily work because people won't put in any time and effort if they didn't, you know, if they don't have some sort of sacrifice or some sweat into it. Right. So if someone paid $1,000 to do a course, that $1,000 out of their pocket, they want to go through the entire course because they shelled out the money. Versus free, yeah, they'll watch the first couple of webinars or the first couple of calls or whatever, and then fall off because they have no intrinsic tie to it.
Well, and I'll add to that. One of the things that I learned, and I learned this from Kevin, and it really hit home with me, and it makes perfect sense. And it's like, of course, because I always had issue with saying, oh, okay, it's going to be this much. Yeah, and there's a book by Alan Weiss, who it's a $1 million consulting. He's got a few books. You may have heard of him, $1 million consulting. Actually, I think it's a video of him where he's training his clients to say, my fee is $50,000. My fee is $50,000. And they look in the mirror and go, my fee is $30,000. It's that confidence in your own ability. You know, that's where imposter syndrome and all that stuff kicks in. But the most important lesson I've learned recently in selling, because selling was my biggest weakness in my business. I knew I could always get people the result. I love what I do. I you know, whatever it was charged, I know I could get them the result. But me translating that into, yeah, that's $30,000. It's 18,000, you know? And it's when you're walking people through this process, that benevolent alpha process, it's when you're talking about an investment in a program. When you figure out their why and their pain point and what it's costing them to be where they are right now, when you tell them the price and they go, oh, that's $10,000, you know, and you can just remind them, well, you know, I've got a cheaper version. Oh, what's that? Oh, it's free. You want to hear it? Yeah. Well, it's you stay where you are and get the same results you've gotten. But to me, that sounds like the most expensive. Because you're telling me you're stuck right here and you're putting all this money out. And I know you want to get that end result. And I would love to help you because you're a great fit. But you're going to have to invest in this so you'll do the work. And I'm like, okay. And I've used that not to close people, but to remind them what it's costing them to be where they are. And that lesson alone, I mean, I can't tell you how that's impacted my business.
It's not just. I love
it's not
that.
A pitch. It's not selling hard. It's reminding them of where they are.
Well, I take that a step further and I remind them saying, great, you don't have to work with an agency. You don't need a consultant.
Brother, agencies are dead. You know that. And I know
so
that.
You don't need a consultant. Shh, we don't say agencies are dead on this.
We'll cut that out. Sorry.
Yeah. Jinx. Yeah. So
colored bars, interruption of program.
Yeah. Patrick views do not represent.
Disclaimer.
You know, exactly. One of the things that I take a step further is great. You know, why? And I get this question a lot of why you versus someone else? And the answer is, you know, forget why me versus someone else. Why not me versus you? Right? Like if you have a problem and you're having a problem hiring an agency, then maybe you're not in a place to hire someone, right? And if you're complaining about price, then don't go out and learn all this on your own. Because as much as we're good at what we do, Patrick's very good at what he does. I think I'm very good at what I do. A, we may not be the best. B, doesn't mean if you don't put in the work, because I mean, Patrick's pretty much self-taught and became better at sales and became better at figuring this out because he made a ton of mistakes to figure out how to get here. The same thing with me. I've built businesses before. If you put in that work, you could pretty much become that expert or that guru. But now let me ask you a question. While you're trying to do this and you want to put in that 40 hours a week to do it, how much is your time worth? Because if you're complaining about that, if you're complaining about the cost of $5,000, $10,000, and you're going to go take that time away and you're going to go spend 40 hours a week to go learn what we do, then that's great. But that's going to cost you a whole lot more than $10,000.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And that's, you know, I'll sum that up in even a shorter close for that kind of stuff. You know, when people start to...
This is my podcast.
Oh,
this is my podcast. You don't make what I say better.
No. Sorry.
No, go for it. I'd love to hear it.
For a written transcript of today's podcast, send $2 to Merkle Press. What I was going to add to that great point that you brought is, yeah, I mean, it's, it is, in summing that up, it's, the speed at which stuff changes, you know, for an actual agency. And I'll tell you, and I'll be blunt, and this is my personal view. If you're a guy like me that works from home most of the time, yeah, I've got an office downtown that I go to, but most of the time I like to work from home because I like to work when I'm creative. I'm not an agency. Do I have a corporation registered that I operate under? And do I have people that I work with and collaborate with on client stuff? Yeah, I do. But there's not an agency with a bullpen or anything like that. That's and if you work at home like I do, guess what? You're not an agency. But you don't want to be. Because an agency implies that you're a commodity, that any client can just hire and fire you at will and run down to the next agency. And it's like an episode of Mad Men. They're working all hours of the night, drinking, you know, scotch and smoking cigarettes, trying to fight for, you know, whatever big brand's coming in. If you're genuine and and you put yourself on there as what's being sold, they're buying you. They're buying your creative genius to help them with their problem. You have to understand the biggest selling point of working with any agency or consulting is the speed at which things change. You know, and you tell them like, look, I'm on top of this with multiple clients and I can continue to mentor you and make this, you know, I can continue to mentor you and help you implement this stuff a hell of a lot faster and cheaper than you can on your own. And if you don't see that, then we're kind of done. And I'll wish you the best and we can just have a friendly chit chat if you'd like to just talk about, you know, the Knicks or whatever.
And that's a lesson for any business, right?
It is.
If you're in home automation, your goal is, yes, you know, you could complain about how the market's changing and there's the DIY stuff and they don't need you to come in and put $10,000 systems in place. But if you're ahead of the curve and you know what they need, you know, you become that person that you understand how things are changing. You become that person they hire because they want that better product. If you're a doctor and you're still old school and you don't understand the new drugs that are out there, no one's going to want to come to you. It's just such a great point for whatever industry you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're in e-commerce, you know, you're prescribing a way to better translate the benefits of a product to a consumer. And if you have a system for creating copy on products that is better than the client, you have massive value. If you have a system that helps them reach the eyeballs more efficiently than they could learn on their own, that has massive value. That's the, you know, specifically for you, because you're an e-com guru as well. You know, if you're selling, you know, mindset coaching, they're going to have to read 50 books and get 50 different opinions. And the best thing they could do is buy your perspective, and your marketing will echo that and be magnetic. Because people are going to come in. So if you're genuine on an ad, and I'll wrap it up with this. If you're genuine on an ad, and let's say you're a mindset coach like somebody we know, and you say, this is what I'm about. This is what I believe in. These are my struggles. This is my story. This is somebody that I help. If this is you, I'd love to talk to you. You're going to get all the business you want. Because then when you're talking to them about the investment in the program, you remind them of how expensive it is to be sleepless and depressed and alone or whatever situation you're in. What they're going to have to do to learn all the knowledge that you have. And even then, they're still not going to draw on the years and years of trial and error that you're going to shortcut for them.
That and ad transparency when you're dealing with the client. I mean, that's just so important. 100%
agree. 100% agree. I think you do it best with that, because you say, put this budget aside, and that's garbage money for us to test stuff. You set the precedent up front. I think you do it better than most people. Because other people are afraid to say that. You say, look, I'm going to set your expectations. Here's what we're going to do.
But you know what? As much as that helps, it hurts so many people that they get scared to do it. I rather lose those clients. I rather not sign someone and be 100% honest and transparent than onboard 1,000 people, you know, built off false promises and lies.
And that is a writer downer, my friends that are listening. That is a writer downer, what he just said.
You should co-host this with me.
Hey, anytime you want, brother.
Patrick,
we can have a radio podcast.
One of the reasons why I loved this conversation is just because I think there's, you know, people need to understand that there's no perfect, you know, solution. There's no magic pill, and everyone needs help, and everyone needs to lay out the framework. And you know, when you reach that level where you can, there's guys like you out there that could help take them to the next level. But the important part is get there. And if you follow Patrick, he'll show you how to get there so you're ready to hire him. one thing I know for sure about Patrick, and this is a testament to you, is he will not touch your money if he does not think he could add any value to you, and if he does not think you're ready for it. And he'll give you the step-by-steps on how to get ready to use the services. And something that always stuck with me, and something that I've tried to emulate in my business as well, and something that's missing in today's business. Patrick, thank you so much for doing this. Really appreciate having you on here.
My pleasure. Kind words, brother. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. See you, buddy.